Good morning, everyone. This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. The Father revealed in the Son. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen. Thank you, Sharif. As we come to this time of our service, we'll continue our theme for the year, following, flourishing and fruitful. I just want to encourage you just to spend some time with the person next to you and maybe reflect on that time in your life where you made a decision to follow Jesus. They want to talk a bit about when that moment was for you, or what does it mean for you to follow Jesus. Let's spend some time talking about that. And those who are online, you may want to reflect on that too. When was that decision, or when did you make that decision to follow Jesus, or what does it look like to follow Jesus in your life? So let's take a moment just to chat about that. Hopefully you had some time just to reflect on what it means to follow Jesus. And there's going to be some conversations about that, but also the moment that you may have decided to follow Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So that's what we're going to dive into today, what it is to follow Jesus. Let me pray for us as we come and get into this time in our service. Well, Father God, again, we just thank you for the blessings to come and be able to worship you here today. Lord, we think of our fellow brothers and sisters who are not with us physically here today, maybe online or wherever they may be. We just again ask for your presence to be near to them today. May they know your love for them and your desire to bless them, as it is your desire to bless each and every one of us here. Ultimately, with deepening our knowledge of who you are and deepening our relationship with you. So, Father, as we come now to your word, as we dive into what it means to follow you ultimately, we just pray your hand of blessing over this time, but also your anointing over the words that I'll speak here today. May it honor you, may it glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, hopefully you reflect again on that time that you made a decision to follow Jesus. And for me, it was when I was 12 years of age at a youth camp. And some of you know this, some of you don't, but I grew up in a Christian family. And it was at this particular youth camp when I was 12 years of age that I made the decision to accept Jesus into my life and ultimately follow him. And it was the very first moment that I experienced the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. I'd made a key decision. Did I want to follow the Jesus that my parents had grown me up to know or brought me up to know? Or was I going to try and discover my own path? Try and discover my own way? No, this Jesus was inviting me into a relationship that was so curious and so compelling that I could not say no. I wonder again what that moment was like for you. But as such, it opened the door to an incredible journey for myself of transformation and growth, something that I could never imagine back then. That's what following Jesus is ultimately all about, amen? Transformation, growth, renewal, restoration. This is what we experience when we accept his invitation to life, amen? But the reality of that experience and the reality of our experience of following Jesus, it ultimately comes back to the Jesus that you have come to follow and that I have come to follow. For if we're following a Jesus that we ourselves have constructed, or we've allowed somebody else to construct for us, and it's not the Jesus of the Bible, then our experience isn't going to be one of growth and transformation. It's going to be something completely. So who is the Jesus that you follow? What is he like? What is he all about? Well, as part of our vision and our desire this year is to discover the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that brings restoration, that brings hope and renewal to our lives. We want to be diving into the character of Jesus, amen? The very person of Jesus, what he was like, what he is all about, and that hopefully will lead to an experience of growth and transformation for our church this year. Again, this year is about following Jesus, following the Jesus of the Bible. And we want to be diving again into his character and his person. So last week we launched our theme for the year, following, flourishing, and fruitful. And we spoke about it. We started by asking the question, what does Jesus expect of his disciples? What does he expect of you and God? If you put your hand up and say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to accept him into my life, does he expect something of us? Or is it just a matter of, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I can live my life how I want to now? Does Jesus expect something of his disciples? The answer to that question forms the basis for our theme and our vision today or this year. And the answer to that question is yes, Jesus does expect something of his disciples. He expects fruit. Jesus expects his disciples to not only be faithful, but fruitful within their lives as well. And if we are being faithful disciples of Jesus, then we are ultimately going to be bearing fruit in our lives, aren't we? So we are called and commissioned to bear fruit. We are called and commissioned to mature, to grow, to become more like Jesus in thought, word, and deed, as per our vision for our church. But this morning we're going to be unpacking and focusing on that faithful aspect here today, because once again, we cannot bear fruit in our lives if we aren't faithfully following Jesus Christ, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the focus of what we shared last week. This is the focus of the passage that ultimately gives us a thrust for this vision and this theme, John chapter 15. Because again, at the heart of this vision, following, flourishing, and fruitful is all about maturing as followers of Jesus. Becoming wholehearted followers of Jesus, fully devoted followers of him. And ultimately so that we may come to flourish in faith and again come to bear fruit in our lives. So we're going to focus on this passage again, John 15, where Jesus says, abide in me, remain in me. That's the focus of following Jesus. And it's all about ultimately obedience. Following Jesus is ultimately about obedience. And we see this throughout Scripture. Following God and his ways is associated with obedience. Have a listen to this passage, Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. It says, it is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands, obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. Psalm 128, verse 1, is another one. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Following Jesus is tied to obedience. And Jesus here draws on these themes, draws on this imagery, and reinforces it here in this passage. Jesus ultimately is inviting us to learn from him, isn't he? Inviting us to learn his ways. The ways of the Lord Most High and obey his commands. Following Jesus is more than just believing in him, amen. It's more than just putting our faith in him. It's about hearing his words and putting them into practice in our lives. Theologian A.W. Tozer puts it like this, if I am to wholly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I must forsake everything that is contrary. We said it again, if I am to wholly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I must forsake everything that is contrary to him. I don't know if you realize this, but it's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy to obey and to follow Jesus. One, because we have inherently a sinful nature within us that wants to defy God, turn our backs on God, want nothing to do with God and his ways. But the other reason is because there's cost involved in following Jesus, isn't there? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. There's sacrifice involved in following Jesus. It is not easy. And hopefully this is an encouragement to you today. Maybe it's a challenge to some of us here today. Because if someone here says that, what are you talking about? Following Jesus is easy. It's not challenging. I don't find it hard. Then I want to push back on that and say, well, you're probably not following the Jesus of the Bible. Because following Jesus is hard in this world. It's taxing. It's challenging. But let me tell you, it's so worth it. Those who have actively decided to follow Jesus, to put all their eggs in one basket, as it were, you will say and you will hear how rewarding, how amazing it has been. But the reality is, if we do not remain in Jesus, if we do not obey his commands, we will not be able to be sanctified. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life, which is all about our spiritual growth and maturity, is dependent upon our union with Christ. If he says, remain in me, abide in me. That's the only way that you can grow. That's the only way that you can flourish. That's what John 15 is all about. But also, as you follow Jesus, as you follow his teaching and his commands, no matter how hard it can be at times, it will bring you rest. Rest for your burdensome, weary souls. Amen. Not only does Jesus invite us to follow him and learn from him as important and as critical to a discipleship as that is, he also invites us to lean in to him. He invites us to learn from him, to obey his commands, but also to lean into him, which results in rest. Matthew 11, 28, 30, again, the passage that Sharif read out to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, but you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's what I want to focus on here today. Because I get a sense, because of the 2 years that we've had, that for some of us, following Jesus has not been easy. It's become difficult, it's become taxing, it's become challenging. Some of us here feel that way, that we're just wearisome, we're burdened. But I believe, and what I want to remind us of here today, is by obeying Jesus, by pushing into him and learning from him, it spells for us rest. R-E-S-T. Because again, I have this sense that some of us have become tired and weary of following Jesus because it is so darn hard at times. And again, because of the 2 years that we've had, that some of us may have taken our eyes off the real Jesus and maybe put it onto a Jesus that isn't of the Bible. And again, to myself, I say this because I found the last 2 years taxing. If I'm going to be vulnerable, if I'm going to be put myself out there, I found faith hard the last 2 years. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I'm sure there's others here that are struggling with faith in Jesus. What happens when we get to that place, though, is that our joy of following Jesus seems to disappear. The joy of serving him in our lives seems to disappear, and serving him in the life of the church as well. But what I was reminded of this week and what I want to encourage us all today with is that we can find rest in Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, come to me, all of those who are weary, and I will give you rest. We can learn from him. We need to learn from him and obey his commands, but we need to learn this practice of leaning into him as well and allowing him to hold us up. And with that, I have an image of those marathon runners that are struggling to get to the end line. You've seen those images of those times where their marathon runners are struggling, they're swaying from side to side, they can hardly get to the finish line, but they eventually get there. A staff member will come and hold them up. You've seen those images before? That's the image I sort of get when it comes to this. Like, some of us are weary, and we're swaying and we're struggling to get to the finish line. We just need to go into Jesus' arms and allow him just to hold us up. Give us that sense of rest and renewal and replenishment. Because that is a key aspect of following Jesus and what comes with knowing him as Christ, knowing him as Christ the Lord. Again, I get this sense that it's hard. Jesus knew it was hard. Again, it requires cost, it requires obedience, and with that comes persecution, it comes spiritual attack, as we've spoken about. Jesus knew this. Jesus modeled to us the way. He himself withdrew from the crowds, didn't he? He withdrew from the crowds, he withdrew from the disciples, and he would go on by himself to spend time with his Heavenly Father. Because he knew that that was what was going to give him replenishment, which was going to renew his soul, give him the joy he needed to continue in his ministry. But it requires intentionality. He knew that. It requires intentionality. It requires working this into our rhythms of life, because as we do this, what this does to our lives, first of all, is, again, it replenishes our soul. It gives us that sense of renewal and that joy to push on, to continue on doing what we're called to do. It replenishes our soul. But second of all, it recalibrates our perspective. Have you found that? When you spend time with Jesus, when you allow him to speak into your life, it recalibrates perspective. It helps us to take our eyes of the menial, meaningless things of life that we put up here and we prioritize so much. It shifts our focus and our perspective to that which is actually important, the ways of the kingdom. Kingdom attributes, kingdom characteristics. This is what I've experienced in my life. It replenishes our soul when we come to Jesus, when we work into our lives this rhythm of Sabbath and just being with Jesus, but it also recalibrates our perspective. Because before we can come to that place of obedience, I believe, before we can see fruit start to flourish in our lives, we need to start here. We need to learn to just come before Jesus, to be with him. This is part of following him. And it reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha in the Gospels. The disciples and Jesus come to visit Mary and Martha. Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning and being with him. Whilst Martha's in the kitchen trying to prepare a meal for Jesus and his disciples, and she comes to him, to Mary, and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus replies with, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not take that from her." Can you see the focus here? The emphasis on coming to Jesus. Laying everything down that weighs us down, that fills us with these burdens and stresses. And just being with him. This is part of following him. Again, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Again, there's this invitation to lean on him, which requires dropping everything just to be with Christ. And I'm not just talking about our devotional time or our, you know, daily readings and spending time in God's Word. That's so much a part of it. I'm talking about one day in your week where you can just remove yourself from your context. Remove yourself from your family context, your workplace, the desk at work, whatever the case may be, and just sit and be with him. Sit in the silence. Replenish our souls. Come to Jesus. Allow him to fill us with that joy again. I've said this before, but for me, it's Wednesday afternoons. I can take myself down to the bay. I sit down there, I pray, I read my Bible, I just meditate and look out at creation. Allow God to speak to me. And that sets me up for my Thursdays when I'm my day off, where I get to enjoy being a dad. And that period of time just allows me to replenish, allows me to kick on the Friday, the weekend, and prepare for Sunday. Don't get me wrong, I don't always get there. I need to incorporate this into my rhythms where I learn to drop everything and go. But that's what I seek to do. That's my time with God. So where is it for you? What day is your Sabbath where you're just being with God, resting, replenishing your soul? Again, this is a big part of following Jesus. We cannot be obey him, we cannot be fruitful if we're not incorporating this into our rhythms of life. For some of us, some days may not be it. It's definitely not for me. As I'm working, it's a work day. As I said, Wednesday afternoons, Thursday, at a time where I replenish my soul. This is the discipline of secrecy and solitude ultimately. Because again, we have no opportunity, we have no chance of being fruitful and flourishing in our faith if we are not implementing this crucial and critical step of discipleship in our lives. Again, that which Jesus himself has modeled to us. This is what it's like to follow him. This is what it's all about in terms of wholeheartedly depending upon him in obedience, but also stopping to pause, recalibrate, to soak up who he is. For he is our very source of life, amen? And he has provided us the way forward, as he himself has said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And so as we finish up here today, I want to leave us with an image. An image that hopefully encapsulates this for us about following Jesus and leading to this flourishing and fruitful way of life. And I want to ask a weird question to give you this image, but have you ever thought about how animals navigate? You ever thought about that? A weird question I ask myself, maybe, but how do animals find their way around? I mean, as humans, we're so intellectual, we've got it all together, we've got maps, we've We've got compasses, we've got GPSs in our car for goodness sake. But how do animals do it? How do they find their way home? How do they find their way around to food sources and that kind of thing? Well, because I love National Geographic documentaries and videos and that sort of thing, I discovered this week that some animals actually use the sun. Did you know that? It's quite intriguing, isn't it? Some animals use the sun to navigate around. Some of those animals, such as birds, fish, butterflies, reptiles, ants, they use the sun to navigate and to get around. And they follow it from east to west. Some birds in particular follow the path of the sun. And again, they use the sun to guide them, to direct them to find food sources and places they have never been before. But they also use the sun as like an internal clock. So they can know when to go to bed and when to wake up. It's so fascinating. Animals' life source in many ways, their source of navigation is the sun. And the same is true for you and I. Amen? As followers of Jesus, we don't follow the physical sun. We follow the sun. The Son of God. He is our source of navigation in this world. Amen? He is our source of life. So when we come to places where we haven't been before, when we come to that difficult terrain in those areas of our life where we struggle, we turn to Him and He sees us through. Jesus Christ is our source of life. He is our navigation tool in this life if we follow Him. Animals are reliant on the sun for life, to navigate, to get places where they find food. Again, the same is true for you and I when we come to follow Jesus. And following Him requires it requires hearing and obeying, not just believing. Learning from Him, remaining in Him, abiding by Him. But it also requires, and this is the key for us today, leaning into Him. Building that rhythm of Sabbath into our lives so that we can receive nourishment and replenishment when we need it. And this allows us to navigate through life and ultimately to be that light in the world, those fruit bearers for His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray that this would be the case in our lives. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on these words, as we reflect on Your desire to mature us, to grow us, to ultimately make us more like You, we know that part of that is that daily decision to follow You. To follow You into Your ways, to learn from You, ultimately to hear what You say to us and obey. But we also realize, Father God, that there's an aspect of our discipleship in following You, but we just need to be still before You. And we just need to lean into You. Because following You is hard, You knew that. That's what You came to do, to show us the way, to lead us in the direction of the Holy One, our Father. But Lord, help us to build these rhythms into our life that we may receive rest for our weary and broken souls. We may ultimately grow and flourish in faith and bear fruit in our lives. Bless us, Lord God, and we pray that this song now, as we come to worship You in song, may pierce our hearts, challenge us, encourage us to pursue You in this way. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you.